Hey, Joel.
Got her on.
All right, I'd like to call the August 13th, 2019 meeting to order. I request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, Joel.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay. Looking for approval of the meeting minutes from July 23rd, 2019.
So moved.
Seconded.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Fiscal officer's report.
On your pile of papers, you have fund status report. In Star, Ohio, we have $588,568.35. Checking account at Krogan, $132,483.36. Payments since last meeting, totaling $60,369.09. And deposits made since last meeting, $65,668.76. With warrant numbers.
Need it?
Warrant numbers 17866 through 17921, and then electronic payments 105-2019 through 111-2019.
I move for approval of payments 105-2019 through 111-2019 and warrants 17866 through 17921. Payments total $60,369.09.
Do you have a receipt detail too, or?
And receipts, yes, thank you. And receipt numbers 110-2019 through 119-2019, totaling net receipts of $65,668.76.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. That's all I got.
Quick tonight. All right. Anything for the fiscal officer, gentlemen?
No, I got nothing else.
Nothing else?
Okay. Chief. Where you at?
Well, good evening, everyone. For our safety note for tonight, I just want to remind everyone, school starts tomorrow. Our caution on the roads and watch out for our school buses. Give them all the respect and the clearance that they need. We're currently up to 276 runs to date. One of the larger incidents we had was a boat fire at Lorraine's Landing, and all went well in spite of short crews and calling in mutual aid. So Oregon assisted us as well as Allen Clay Joint District. Other than that, there's been a little uptick in auto accidents in the area, so we've been handling those. Hopefully nothing of extreme seriousness, but again, watch the roadways. A lot of activities going on. I'm happy to report that I have a applicant from a previous firefighter, which is to return, and I'm asking the trustees to accept his application.
It's Marco.
He still maintained his cards.
So both cards are current?
Good one.
Right, acted right back with us.
Wonderful.
And
how'd you bribe him?
Help us on the daytime calls at this time, so.
How much did you bribe him with? It's been a long time.
He finally came to us, and things changed in his work that allowed him to rejoin us, so.
Absolutely.
Just the normal, pending the background check and physical and everything. I don't expect any different challenges.
Okay. That's great news.
All right. Well, let's get this out of the way. I'll make a motion to hire Marco Valeria back to the fire department pending a background and physical.
I can second that. Gladly. Good man.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sauer?
Yes.
Motion carried.
I am working towards these titles, but there's at least one.
Oh, okay.
And still working on more. Okay. More to come.
All right.
Just wanted to let you know I'm working on that project.
Vehicle titles.
As far as everything else going, going well, training is going good. We're seeing an uptick in the amount of participation on the training. Runs have been picking up a little bit more activity on personnel. So, some of the other items, we've had the Timmy clean the carpets, so I was glad to get the that part all cleaned up again. And
send it over here.
Other than that, everything's going okay. Any questions?
No questions.
Dave, anything for Chief?
No, I'm just curious, Tony, did you still want that book? I got it laying on my fireplace up there. You wanted that Jerusalem Journal thing? That?
Actually, I talked to Linda, and she was going to see about purchasing one for me, and
okay.
So I want to have one. It's just, okay. But
I didn't know they were around yet to be had.
Okay. How do you spell Marco's last name?
Thank you, Chief.
What?
Hey, Tony, how do you spell Marco's last name for the notes?
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to try to destroy it.
V-A-L-L-E-R-A. That's right. He was on before you.
V-A-L-L-E-R-A.
All right. Mr. Mike, Rec Department.
I'll be brief. Programming-wise, all the fall stuff has started. Fields, I have been watering the trees, filling the bags at least once a week, and those seem to be holding up pretty well. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, you should go out there and see that row of trees, both of them. It looks pretty cool.
It does.
So that's going on. I'll continue that, you know, obviously till the fall comes. I had an interesting call from the Metro Parks. They wanted to know what we had park-wise. They said they go through occasionally and they try to upgrade all their records. So I filled them in with everything we had. They wanted to know what we were doing, what projects we were working on. So all that's up to date and they have all that information. So they periodically check, but that's the first time I've ever got a call. So maybe they talked to someone previously, you know, years past or whatever. But, so it's all up to date. I also am very pleased to tell you the walking trail is done. So it's all done. I do understand what you're saying with the change you made with the little curvature there at the
yeah, it helps.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, I think. And also what that did is it didn't cut it straight through. It kind of curved it around, and it doesn't take so much of the ball damage. And that was one of Dean's concerns. But he charged us $100 more for that. So I suggest that we pay that $100, mm-hmm. not the schools, even though it's on their property, because we made the change. If that's okay with the trustees.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And then Blousy charges $200 to stockpile the dirt and move some dirt. And that wasn't, he asked me originally, but we didn't know. So he said, well, that'll be a different charge. I said, we'll just, when it comes to it. So it's $300 more than the original. So I talked to Dean. He's got the PO written up. I just got the invoice from Joel tonight. I'll give that to him tomorrow. And it should be paid as quickly as they pay the bills.
is what he meant. When he hauled the dirt there, we had him level it. We didn't have that in the contract.
Yeah.
So it was stupid not to have him do it. He's right there. Yep. Instead of calling somebody in.
I think it looks fantastic. And I did, there is no way a car would ever think about driving on it. It's only 4 foot. So I am going, I think it was a bad idea to put a pole on the school property like that, because that's just exit for problems. You know what I mean? To stop a car from going, because you couldn't run into that. So,
is this a post in the middle of the path?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I am not, and besides that, to their property, I'm not even going to suggest that to Dean, because I think it's going to be a hazard more than anything. If you see the path, no one in their right mind. Well. I'll just leave it at that. So I will give this bill to Dean tomorrow, and we will put that baby to bed.
Good. Good. Thank you.
I just hope they use it.
Oh, I have a feeling they will, because that gives them a direct shot. The ball diamond is out there. And if you don't have that path, you walk out there and your feet are wet. And if you're early in the morning, your feet are wet all day. So he can take his phys ed classes out there and use them. And it's a direct shot. So hopefully they get used more. And
oh, I never thought of that.
Parking lot too, so.
Good. This allows them overflow parking for the fall when conferences start.
And I will talk to the principal again. I'm sure he knows, but I just want to extend to use that.
We got to make sure he emphasizes that to people know that they can, because that's where we did it.
Yeah. I will make a point that he knows already, but I will see him again tomorrow. So. And then that's all I have.
Oh, well, we got it. It's in the Christmas party. My wife mentioned it.
Yeah, I do have some things going in the back. Couple of things I will bring up at our next board meeting. It's coming up.
Next time you see her, stop. She got people asking her to help too. So
I did stop there the other day and I saw her, but she was busy. So I'll see her.
I just thought I'd mention it.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Linda, zoning.
Okay, I have the update for you. Last month we've had five permits, two for signs, two for accessory buildings, one for a pond. We did get some new deeds for property. They are located on Howard Road. Just so you know, I highlighted them. So it came from the land bank. Again. And as I was looking at them, they're between Henneman and, well, next to Henry, and then Henneman. And then on the other side of those lots is a Malin Johns. Has a really nice house there also. So as I was looking at the two lots, thinking, wow, they're on Howard Road and they're next to each other. The one closer to Henneman, so the one towards the top, the land bank also has that one. So I put in an evaluation. I have to send them an evaluation to see if the township could receive those properties. So I did send that, because that would make sense for us to get the third one next to it. I did send an evaluation. You know the house at the end of Corduroy that's on the lot? Or it's on that really, really small lot. The health department actually condemned it at one point.
Yeah, it still has the BMW sitting out front.
It has been sold, but anyhow, the land bank said no to it. And typically, just so you know, they don't want to deal with anything with a house on it.
What does that mean, that they said no, when you say that they said no?
They won't. It has back taxes. So usually when a property has back taxes, but it has to be back taxes and it has to be vacant.
Okay.
For them to think about going to the and taking it off and receiving it, so we could then receive it.
Okay. But you also said it's
two stipulations.
You also said it's been sold?
Yes, it's been sold.
So as part of the sale, does that mean that all the taxes were brought current?
No, they would have had to pay for them, I think, unless you got it at sheriff's auction. And I'm not sure if it went there. I just noticed when I looked it up the last time it had a new owner.
Hmm, okay.
And I think it said zero, so I don't know. I don't know how that. Yeah, I didn't do any further looking into that at that point. So any questions on those? Okay, violations. I did call the county. We had an owner put in a second driveway, which you have to have a permit to do that. And Lucas County says no now to second driveways. You have one primary driveway. That's all they want you to have. So a violation did get sent out by the county for a property on Bunning Road. And then I sent out two other violations, 11349 Corduroy and 12763 Lagoon. Sent those out this week. As far as our three court cases, I have a court date for August 20th for Blight, and then there's another one for the conditional use violation. There's a tentative meeting on September 5th. That might change. I got an email from the county today saying that might not work for them, which I really hope it wouldn't, because it takes a lot for me to get everybody lined up. The BZA has to be present at that meeting. So we're talking about seven people. So we'll see what they say. I hadn't heard back from them yet. Hotel court date is on August 26th. Okay, and then as far as county, I think, Bo, you're going to bring up the mitigation resolution and old business. I'm still investigating Anchor Point, although I did send them a violation. They never did get me a bull permit. And I can't get him to dialogue with me so we can talk about some other issues in regards to boat docks and ducks. So Mr. Rivera, John, is here tonight. He came to me and said, what can we do about a little split off of 2nd Street? Actually, it's the end of 2nd Street. So he did the legwork, and then I did a little bit more legwork. So here's the one, and I thought I had more copies. That's the best one. There's 2nd Street in Bono coming down to Platt. Okay, and then there's this. This is a dedicated road. And it ends in the farm field, which if you looked at the big section, there's where it ends. Mm-hmm. John owns the property on either side of it.
So is this currently surfaced, or is that
no,
looks like
there's nothing
that
there.
Looks like
there never
vacant
was anything
property right now. Okay,
right, John.
Yeah,
all vacant.
I've
trees.
Been maintaining it for 30 some years.
So John contacted people, and then those people contacted me. The way to vacate a road is you need to pass a resolution that you're willing to say it can be vacated. And then John would then do the rest of the legwork going downtown, and then the commissioners have to also approve of that, and the engineer does too. So John has the resolution, and I'll let him go from there. Anything else to add?
No, it's been maintaining it, keeping it mowed, because for a while the county wasn't doing it, and it had weeds and brush, and so I just started whacking, and I keep it mowed because I got property on both sides, and I had brush in the middle, so I just keep it now mowed
right
all the way across. It looks better. And
oh, I'm sure it does. Thank you.
It does, yeah.
The zoning board also took a look at that and said they felt it was a good idea also. And John has the resolution.
Yes.
Okay. which that came from the auditor's office.
So Linda, what happens when a road is vacated? So that means that that's no longer a road. That,
correct.
That property that used to be the road, now what happens with that?
Gets split between the owners on either side.
Okay.
Which he owns both of.
So what happens to the piece between lot 40 and 59?
It would all go to him because he owns.
He owns them too.
Oh, you own all four of those.
Yeah. Got the it. North and okay. the south side.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
It's going to cost you $300, yeah?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, the county engineer has to come and even view it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess until 2017, the commissioners had the right to do that, but then they passed a resolution because there was another township that it got vacated and the trustees were upset that it got vacated. So now the trustees need to pass a resolution first.
I think I saw that in that township magazine. There was.
So it speaks to a petition of 12 freeholders residing in the area. When does that occur?
I think the county does all that.
They do.
All she said okay. that they had, we had to do to start it was to pass the resolution.
Okay.
Correct, Linda. This is the petition. We have to read this one,
yeah,
and pass it.
Right.
So what gets in there?
Well, we're the landowners. See, I don't get the undersigned petitioners being the owners and land of a budding. Okay.
So is that the description of the?
No, the undersigned petitioner. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So this would be. This.
Oh. Where are you going?
Okay.
Oh, we're in town.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
A little bit more fun.
All right.
I had to rent some stuff.
So, my and then I'll move. Okay, I move to pass this resolution. It says the undersigned petitioners being the owners of land abutting that part of the western portion of 2nd Street west of Platt Street between 938 and 948 Platt Street. As described below, a public road in Lucas County, Ohio, respectfully represent that said road has been abandoned, has not been used for a period of 21 years. Petitioners request that the part of said road as described below be abandoned by authority and under the provisions of section 5553.042 of the Ohio Revised Code.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carries.
There you go, sir.
I think you guys would need to sign it.
Yeah, we got to sign it.
Yeah.
Okay.
To John.
I'll send you that.
Okay.
So, Linda, we are signing as owners.
Yeah, that's I just going to ask.
You're responsible for it because nobody.
Because of what it did belong to the township.
The township road.
Yeah.
It says print, it should be signed above it and print below it. That's probably what they want.
I think that'd be a good idea. And then the only other thing I had was, we have the bids for the Blighted House, but we can put that on. Wanting to open those or decide on which one to do.
Linda, I had one for you, the house next to Phantom Fireworks.
I forgot that one.
Did you have that, did we talk about that one last?
We did.
We did, okay.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Anything else for Linda?
Nothing else.
John?
Linda, you done?
I'm done.
All right, thank you, Linda. Kevin, maintenance.
Okay, the spray patching has been completed. Various areas, we did, on 20 roads, we did various repairs. That bill you will sign tonight, $13.30. I did purchase another 100 ton additional road salt for a total of $6,809. That'll be delivered here sometime in the next month to be put in the salt shed. Had a hydraulic pump go out on the A-boom mower. That is now back together and repaired. We did have our pre-construction meeting last week with the county, state, ODOT, whole bunch of them on Bono Road, everybody that was concerned with the repairs and repaving of that. That went well. That started actually on Monday. They're going to do all the repairs and remove striping and everything. That one should be done by the end of the month, except the black tape seal over the top. They're most probably, it's looking like for the town of Bono, that'll be pretty close to the end of the month, first of next month before we get started in there. I did elect to go with nines instead of eights for the road surface because it gives it a better appearance. Isn't quite as loud, and you don't get, like with the eights, when the plows go down it, you're constantly shearing that stone, so it'll look similar to like our big spray patch that we put out in the parking lot, with the exception when they come back and spray the black cape seal over the top, it'll resemble more of an asphalt road from appearance. So that'll also be done by Bergman's when they get done on Bono Road. Had one funeral, had a funeral yesterday, a full burial, and we did receive a bill from Frex on indigent cremation. So Joel said he wrote that check, so I'll be delivering that to Frex. So
I will write that check.
Well, yeah. So, and that's all I got, unless you guys got something for me.
Did we pull the pump down in Bono?
Yep.
That's out of there?
Yep.
Good. Anything else for Kevin?
Nothing else.
Dave, you have anything for Kevin?
Oh, yeah, Kevin, long as you're talking about Bono Road, did we ever figure out what was that tile there or anything there? No?
No. Nobody's figured heads or tails what that tile does for sure yet.
Okay.
Because there's a bunch of them on that plan.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Yeah. Nobody knows what was cut off and what wasn't, so it...
All right, thanks, Kevin. Cemetery reports. Anything on the cemetery?
No, nothing else on the cemetery.
Okay. Hall rentals. We had two hall rentals since the last meeting. Joel's got the finances for that. Dave, anything on roads?
Kevin and I talk off and on every day, so we talked about everything that, like the stones he mentioned, and we're going to go that smaller stone so it looks nicer. And nothing else otherwise. We've been working on that water and ditches and petitions and everything, so that's all my spare time.
Okay. Okay. Moving on to old business. Any update to the repairs to the hall?
No, I figured it wasn't any sense calling her, so yeah. I didn't.
I just left it on there.
Okay. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with it.
Water issues, as Kevin said, we've pulled the pump from Bono, so that has really dried up back there on the backside. Yeah. I know they're still having issues over there on Elliston Road, and I don't think
we haven't heard that from Columbus. Have we? Okay. All right.
And then we haven't done anything over on Brown Road yet. They haven't been back to do any ditch cleaning there. No, he probably won't be back till fall, huh?
I called Burkhart today, but he didn't call me back about. Okay. He's going to do some stuff at our church, and then I was going to ask him about that there. So.
Okay.
Oh, and did you tell them guys that we're done pumping, yep, or so they get their butts
yep
in gear?
That's what I told. I'm actually going to go down and see Mr. Tolles this weekend, and but I've told him more than once that, you know, we're
now the time to get their stuff.
Yeah,
in. Yeah,
because it's way down. It's below the main tile in there, so
They can get in there.
Yeah, even else is down. That one house, the second house, is kind of drier on it. Thank God.
So it's definitely. He actually was able to go back. I drove by the other day, and he actually went back there and mowed where all that water was standing. So, so we'll get rid of the. I'll get rid of the coarse one off there for next meeting. I'll leave the other two on. Road transfers, I think I'm going to remove that one because I think that's basically
done deal
officially. Joel, tax penalty, any further on that? Have you heard any more?
Well, the letter was sent last week or the prior, so it'll take the IRS a while to respond.
Okay, but we'll leave that on for updates. Okay, so is there any other old business you guys could recall? I was trying to clean house a little bit on there. And
any word on that one?
I have not. I was actually going to re-email Ron or give him a call on the speed study for LaFountain.
So there's a speed study for LaFountain
and Corduroy.
And Corduroy.
So that was sent a couple of weeks, month ago. Been a month, so he didn't know if it was going to happen this year. He was going to try and get it in this year, he said, so. But I'll follow up.
That's a requirement. They do the speed study first.
Yep.
Before they can consider putting any speed bumps in place.
So I will call Ron tomorrow.
What road was that on?
LaFountain and Corduroy.
LaFountain.
So I know we passed it and sent it out. Yeah. So the resolution for them to do it. It was a matter of
them doing it.
Them getting it scheduled to get it done. So
you ask about this? This is Kevin, this is your issue. This is the OPWC timeline letter. It's a non-issue. I think
non-issue,
probably explain.
It's a non-issue because the projects we're presently doing this year and what's scheduled for next year do not qualify for that grant.
Okay.
I have one more old business.
Dave, anything else for old business?
No.
Nope. Okay.
I do.
Oh, Joel?
Well, we talked about it last meeting. This is from the verbiage for the fire levy. Send it down.
We got the real one.
You give that to Tony.
You're going to get... Well, here you got his steps in today.
I got him. His whole 10,000?
Got his 10,000.
I got him close.
So that's the letter from the County Board of Elections I received today. The back page of that is the verbiage for the ballot. I know you guys asked about it when it came in the mail. The only one I'm not sure of is the road and bridge one, the smaller levy language. I'm going to call them tomorrow and ask them if they're just, I don't know. We sent that one in 2 months ago, so kind of unsure why. Maybe they wait till now to send us the language. Questions on that or anything?
No, looks good.
Yep, that's, yeah, that's as we were expecting. Looks good.
Any more old business?
Okay. All done?
So, we'll move on to new business. A lot of these are probably gonna tie together. So the ditch petitioning for the Cooley, the Cedar Creek, and the Wilhelm Ditch.
I have them, and finally the engineer, Mr. Penisky, sent them to me, so we're gonna do a joint county for the Cooley and Cedar Creek, because we can get some of Ottawa County and to help pay for that. Their water's all coming through there, so and I Penusky likes that, because then the Ottawa County engineer has to do it, I guess, most of it. So he's not here tonight, but I got a fellow to sign it already, so all I got to do is make copies tonight, so I got extra copies. So we were going to do Wilhelm Ditch too. So that'll
be a separate petition?
Yeah, it'll be a separate petition. So we'll do Wilhelm and the...
And then Cooley and Cedar will be together in a single petition?
Yeah, well, it'll be a joint. It'll be...
A joint, okay.
You know, Ottawa County, Lucas County, if I say it that way.
Right,
okay. And that's...
So I want to... When we petition the Cedar Creek,
mm-hmm.
that creek runs through Ottawa County,
yep.
into Wood, I think it even goes into Wood County in parts. So... Ottawa County is going to get part of their money, and they'll maintain their end of it with the funds that they collect.
Yeah.
And then we'll collect the funds on our end maintain.
It'll all be joint, and we can get, yeah, it's their money's going to help us too.
Okay.
So it's kind of a win situation.
So this is not just the people that live along the creek, the property owner, this is people.
People are
dumping it into it.
Yeah, I got the same thing in Elmore. We got a ditch that's petitioned down there, and they know that you got tile going in there, and
mm-hmm.
you get assessed for so many acres.
Yeah,
that go into that creek. So actually, if somebody living next to it wouldn't, if they don't have any water going into it, they wouldn't be assessed.
Okay.
Any questions on that, Al? So that's it.
We only needed one on that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I got George Coker is going to do the Cooley, because he lives right there, and I can find somebody to do the Wilhelm for sure. I know so.
Okay.
Only takes one person, like you said, Bo. So
yep.
It's great.
All right, put both these together for you, Dave, Sam, and Marcy. I put them all in one line.
I called Sam, but he never called back as usual. So I don't know anything. So,
okay.
And Marcy, Jane Rublo did call back, and she was sorry that she couldn't make the meeting. She was at Putin Bay or something for a meeting over there, I think. And I told her what was going on with the Metro Parks and what we were trying to do. And so she was going to call the Metro Parks, see if she could get them to budge a little bit or something, you know, whatever. But that probably won't do much good. So that's where we stand there. I was surprised Sam didn't call me back, though, but I called him in early morning.
We're just going to go to Mike's house when we know he's in town on the weekends, and we'll just kidnap him. So you're coming out with us for a day. So, okay. Davis Bessie, we saw the email here regarding the...
The upcoming exercise.
Yep, the emergency preparedness requirements for the Davis Bessie power station every 8 years. There's a practice run on the 18th and a dry run on the 23rd.
Yeah, the 18th of September and yep. October 23rd is the FEMA grade exercise.
They graded then, yeah.
Yeah.
I can go.
September 18th.
They want one yeah. person to go again.
That's a Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday's that one. And October 23rd is a Wednesday, another one. So, Dave, you're going to handle those?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay.
I think if I remember reading right, I think we got a call in, too, don't we, or email or...
Yes, they'd like to know. Please let us know who from each of your organizations will be attending. along with email address for the attendees. And it says it would be helpful if the same person was present for the dry run as far as, as well as the FEMA graded. So.
You have the copy.
Yeah, I got it.
So you can have this one if you need it. Okay. Yes, Chief?
I just wanted to add on the Davis Gussie thing that it was something that I learned that I wasn't aware of until we got into the flooding, potential problems and stuff like that. And to my disappointment, Davis Gussie no longer puts out the calendar that they were doing before.
Right.
So this is the alert information that goes out to everyone. So it's just unfortunate that they don't do that calendar because that worked pretty well, because one of the biggest things we look for is we look for, I've been notified, the signage and the information on that. So in the event of, so again, we would utilize pretty much the same procedures as far as route verification, route notification, and evacuation as what's in the plan. So I'm not so sure if we're going to do a campaign of other information to the residents in the possible affected area. So, but we may want to just copy this information and send it along with it. Again, it's just a thought.
Tony, could we incorporate it in our department calendar?
We could. We could incorporate it into ours.
The necessary.
And that might be
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Real effective.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Great idea.
Okay.
There's a couple more I know.
Okay.
I don't think I know who does the calendar.
Moving on to the, that was the Lucas County hazard mitigation. We looked at this at the last meeting, and I believe all we have to do now is approve the resolution.
Right. So the resolution reads, whereas natural, technological, and man-made hazards can affect Jerusalem Township, and whereas significant structural, historical, and economic losses could result from an occurrence of a natural, technological, or man-made hazard event, and whereas undertaking mitigation projects during pre-disaster periods could decrease the total losses Jerusalem Township incurs as a result of said hazard occurrences, and whereas Jerusalem Township has a strong interest in reducing losses from future hazard occurrences, and whereas the hazard mitigation plan is a federal and state requirement to maintain eligibility for hazard mitigation funding, and by that requirement must be updated a minimum of every 5 years, and whereas a cooperative joint effort is a proven, efficient way to plan for and reduce hazard susceptibility in all government jurisdictions in Lucas County, Ohio, therefore, Jerusalem Township has partnered with the county to update the existing Lucas County countywide all-natural hazard mitigation plan in an effort to further identify, define, and characterize the hazards affecting the township, as well as to continue identifying and prioritizing projects that could lessen hazard vulnerability. Now be it resolved that Jerusalem Township does hereby adopt the updated Lucas County 2019 multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan this 13th day of August 2019, and signed by the trustees. I move that we adopt the proposed resolution.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
I don't remember doing that 5 years ago.
I'm going to jump around a little bit here off our list, because I know everybody's, the big one's the dike issue, so I'm going to jump down to number 9 here. Red Cross called, want to do another blood drive. They chose October 26th, that's a Saturday. They don't do many weekend ones out here, and they're hoping for a big turnout because we've been pretty good during the week ones. So she hasn't given, or he has not given me a time yet. But we did secure the October 26th date. So as those dates come better,
great.
If you guys can give blood, more power to you. Come out and donate.
That date is firm? We should go ahead and put that on the website.
That is a firm date, unless something changes on their end. But he was trying to fill holes in his calendar. So.
When will we hear about the time?
Does that go to the county?
Yeah.
I can give him a call.
Okay, I'll wait to hear back on time before.
Yeah, I'll give him a call and see if he gives the exact time, because he wasn't exactly sure.
Okay.
What time?
County get this?
Yes, I believe so. I think we want to keep a copy and send a copy off to the county.
Want me to copy that?
Does it go to the EMA?
No, I think Linda, Linda had it.
Oh.
Yeah.
She had the mitigation paperwork.
Okay.
So.
So Linda's problem?
I'll figure out where to send it.
Okay, great.
All right, we'll jump up to number eight, Mark, if you want to touch on the summer caucuses.
Sure, okay. On July 31st, the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments hosted a half-day summer caucus with state lawmakers. I went to represent Jerusalem Township. There were a number of caucuses, the township caucus, there was a city caucus, there was a county caucus, etc. The township caucus talked about the following issues that were important to the townships. The Lake Erie high water level, the issue of nutrient loading, water quality, and the algae bloom, funding for bike paths and walking paths, and autonomous vehicles and the required antenna systems that would be installed for autonomous vehicles, and who would pay the funding for those that future expense. That was some of the other more urban townships were much more concerned about the cost of that. That's, I don't know, I've got too many people out here worried about autonomous vehicles quite yet. It's a little futuristic yet. All of the caucus groups then gathered in the auditorium. We had seven different legislators from the state, two state senators and five state representatives. Each caucus representative, one representative from each caucus, had the opportunity to present one issue, one their top issue, and they touched on very quickly. I'll be putting this up on the website so everybody can get to it starting tomorrow. They talked about distracted driving, Lake Erie water quality, and I don't know if you saw yesterday's news, but the county commissioners released a study after 2 years where they mapped all of the nutrient loading, and they're tracing it. We've all suspected it wasn't all the farmers, and they've traced it back, and they said it's the CAFOs, the concentrated animal feeding operations. 80% of the state feeding operations are located in Northwest Ohio, and all of that huge quantity of manure is, when we get torrential rains, that puts an awful lot of nutrients into the watershed. So this will go up on the website tomorrow. They talked about the importance of education, the importance of healthy lifestyle needs and walking paths and bike paths. They talked about House Bill 163, but that doesn't apply to Jerusalem Township. They talked about how to prevent cities from having to pay for things that benefit the non-residents of that city. They talked about funding for local courts, job and family services, etc. And they talked about how communities can collaborate with other communities and even with private organizations to form public-private partnerships and reduce redundancy and reduce expense. So anyway, this will be out there, and I would encourage everyone, if there are any issues that you want to make sure, there's two caucuses a year. There's one in January, and then there is one in the summer, in late July. If there are issues that you believe need to be taken forward to our state legislators, there's a couple of links in this letter. You can get to our website. All of our email addresses and our cell phone numbers are out there, and please let us know what you think should be carried forward to our state legislators. We're happy to do that and to represent you.
Thanks. Jump up to number five there, Joel, the township property.
Linda sent me the paperwork today, so she submitted it.
Oh, she beat you to the, yeah.
Okay, it's okay.
So that, we're done with that, huh?
Well, we'll see. If we get a tax bill next year, then I know something happened or didn't happen.
Okay, you know what I didn't have in here was the stuff. I did. Is that all going to fall into that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think why most of us are here tonight.
Anything on the equipment list, or is that taken care of?
Well, we'll do that. And I was going to do that in there with your guys' portion there. So we're going to talk about the article in the paper regarding the dikes, the interview with 13ABC yesterday regarding the Army Corps of Engineers report. So, Mark, I'm going to let you start.
Okay.
On this, because I don't know exactly what part you want to start on.
Okay. All right. Well, let me start. I don't know if everybody has seen the letter. Some of you, there were copies. Hopefully, some of you got a copy of that letter. It is up on the website as well. And also, that letter really goes through and tries to summarize the PowerPoint from the Army Corps of Engineers. It's a 47-page PowerPoint. So we have this PowerPoint that talks about a lot of technical issues by the Army Corps of Engineers, and they talk about how dikes are constructed and what are the potential weaknesses of dikes and how do you protect and all of that. And they talked in general terms about the kinds of weakening that can be seen in dikes, and they talked about the kinds of weakening that they have seen in some of our dikes. But what they did not include in this PowerPoint was, okay, well, here's where those problem areas are. They did not include that. There is a report coming that's probably still a week and a half away or so. That report is, we're expecting that report will have the specific information, the specific locations, and the specific types of weaknesses. Right now, what your trustees are doing is preparing for what resources do we think we might need, what parties do we think we might need to bring to the table, what do we think we're going to need in order to address these areas of potential weakness so that we can get them strengthened as rapidly as possible. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers did assign a medium urgency of action. That's not a high urgency of action, it's a medium urgency, because they did see some things like they saw vegetation on the dikes where the roots can get in and force rocks apart and create potential for water incursion. They saw animal burrowing, which can compromise the dike. They saw some erosion and some dike areas where the sides were maybe steeper than they ought to be, which can contribute to breakdown. We don't know where yet. So anyway, we're preparing so that when we find those areas, we can address them quickly. I don't know if anybody saw, there was a brief interview that ran on Channel 13, but it was really focused on, we, your trustees, are trying to get out ahead of this and really focus on prevention as opposed to waiting until there is a problem and then trying to fix the problem. No, we want to address it in advance. We believe that prevention is really the way to go. So let me stop and see if there's questions so far.
I believe you're on the wrong dike.
Well, if you're talking about the picture that was on the TV, that was taken on the Army Corps of Engineers dike facing a lake. But when we talk about the dike, we're talking about the entire dike system that runs all the way inland. And I don't
believe... Larry, real quick, as Flavia has been here, if you're going to speak, we need to state your name and address. That's all right. You just, so it's on record.
Joel needs it.
Yeah, Joel needs it.
I don't know you. I'm sorry.
Larry Matzer. M-E-N-T-E-R.
Okay.
No, the biggest problem is Ward's Canal.
Yeah.
Amen.
Standard Road.
Yeah.
We
Because we're really talking about the dike system, and that includes not only what faces the lake, but Ward's Canal, Cooley Canal, and all of that. Yes.
Some of the worst, Larry, is way down by the old pump on Ward's Canal, and then right by the old sign where Anchor Point had there, where two legs are in the creek already. That's some of the worst parts of the Ward's Canal up front there.
I know the section behind the new state park.
Right.
About a third of what it was 12 years ago.
Right.
Put that up from Howard Road to Corduroy. I think it's the biggest problem areas. I don't know. I can't tell what's in the back. I don't know. I haven't been there in years. I grew up in the neighborhood. But I think the biggest threat right now is Donovan to Howard. Because there's beavers in that creek. If a beaver knocks a hole in there, it's over.
So what makes this so complex is we've got the Army Corps of Engineers erected dike, which is the one facing the lake.
Right.
We have the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District, and that conservancy is responsible for everything in their district, but their district is smaller than Jerusalem Township. It's a subset. We have other private property with dikes on it that is outside of the conservancy, but is part of the dike system. And I mean, I think we all understand that if there's a weakness anywhere, it puts the entire dike system at risk. So that's why the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, we Dave walked the dikes with them, I think last year or the year before.
Last summer,
they were invited out at our request to help us with an assessment of, please, you guys are the experts, tell us where are the weak areas and 'cause we want to address them. So that's where we are. We're trying to figure out how do we. We're a little worried because the lake water level is so high. That's going to put additional stress on the dikes. We're a good 3 feet or so above normal levels for this time of year, this season. And so tell us, Army Corps of Engineers, where are the areas we should be most concerned about, and that way let us get on those and try to address them early.
Tanya Myrise here. Okay, this report you're waiting on from the Corps of Engineers, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's from their visit a year ago?
No.
Or there was a new visit this year?
Were they out here recently?
They're coming to Dick, here?
22nd.
The 22nd. So, yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know if they really pinpointed them that day when we walked them. I can tell you where most of the bad spots are because I walked most of it. But I don't think they GPSed anything, but they did say what you know, like Mark said, some of them are just short, they're cut off, there's no, when they did the dikes last time, they cut too close to the dike, and that's what's happened, it's just fallen in now. They should have went farther out and dug in the middle when they built the dike.
So, the actual report you're waiting on, they haven't been out yet? Or it's from last year's visit?
It's from last year's visit.
Okay, that was my question. So, and then today is August 13th, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, thank you very much.
To get government to move, it's like...
I get government to move. Yeah. I make a phone call. I harass them.
You get the...
You pay your taxes. That's your job.
The Army Corps, though, you don't bug them.
I will.
Good. You go for it.
Yeah, I'll call them in tomorrow. Tell them I'm waiting on a report as a resident of Jerusalem Township. I mean, from last year.
Trouble is getting them fixed. You know, the Metro Parks owns some of the worst spots.
Yeah, but we as township members can do so much on our own. I mean, if there's animals burrowing in there, we all got shotguns, don't we?
Yeah.
We gotta kill them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something we
need. Those are varmints.
go for it.
It could be done before the Nor'easters, and what they're saying is going to happen, correct?
That's what scares me in November.
That's our focus. Okay. We want to get on it before we get to November. Right.
Before we all have no homes?
The
that we fought so hard for? you know?
There's a little bit of issues with the Metro Parks because they're saying the new dikes that they built inside the park were to replace the dike on the outside along Ward's Canal there, along Route 2. I agree with them. It's cheaper to build a new, it was cheaper for them to build a new dike than it was to repair those old dikes. But they didn't, in my opinion, they're not tied in right because it's the water's going to go right around their dikes that they built. If they would have tied them back into the original dike, wouldn't be such a big issue.
Yeah.
I agree, but they didn't tie those new dikes into the old dike. So the water can go right around the park, run right down Howard Road.
Right down Howard Road.
And there it goes. So the biggest, so there's one issue. And then the other big issue is on the west side of Howard Road where they haven't developed yet. The piece that they have not developed yet, that's where there's more bad spots back there. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to try and talk some sense into them and force them to either fix that one or tie it in right.
The park,
yes.
It's Larry. If you know where the S curve is back there,
I know exactly. That's where it's
real bad right there in that S curve.
And now the S curve gets into Wolf's, so I mean that's borderline.
Well, we walked Wolf's, and it's not bad. They've taken care of theirs, and Grottle had concrete. He's got concrete sitting there for the Metro Parks to fix that coulee along there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and they don't care.
Well, now answer this. If it were to break on their property, are they going to be liable?
They're liable, but who wants to see that happen?
Well, I don't want to see it happen.
Yeah.
If it's something we're going to happen.
That's why I think we might have to get them to get off their can. We might have to get on TV and admonish them, you know, because they don't like PR. The guy got in my face the other day, and he says, "You shouldn't act like this. You should talk to us about this a little bit more." Well, I goes, "I'm here to represent the people of Jerusalem Township. I don't give a shit about your park."
What's the guy's name again?
Tim Sheeter.
You got a real good idea there, Dave. I mean, because they do not want bad PR.
No, then that's the only way we're going to get him to move. That's the only way. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Janice Fenn. We live on Dyke Road, so we're on. We've got, and I don't know if this is all related or partially related. There's the big drainage ditches that are to the west of us and are just like stagnant. I mean, they've been stagnant. There's been no flowing water there, and it's really getting disgusting. It just sits. And when we looked at that property 3 years ago, it was actually flowing through there, and there was an outlet. But now there's no, it's like stopped up or something on one end and the other end. It doesn't go anywhere. And all the way along the dike on that west side, that ditch is just completely stagnant all the way down along where all the houses are down below.
So, Richard, that the Dyke Road, and you're talking about the Dyke Road on the eastern end, not the western.
Between north and east.
Yes.
The southern side.
Yeah, just up above Canal. Okay. So, Richard, that's inside the Conservancy District?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be...
It's been pumped.
That would be the... cleaning?
Yeah. No, it's not been... Nothing's happened there.
The water has been pumped. We've pumped millions of gallons in the last few months in that area.
It's... Nothing's gone in there. It's stagnant.
If it hadn't pumped, it would be way up.
There's no... Like where there
it's
was
not
a big,
man,
what about
run.
The big culvert that comes in from Reno Beach? It's completely clogged with sand and has been for 2 years.
The water goes down, all the pumps
work.
No.
This is dirt that's in that pipe. We go down there all the time. I mean, it's been clogged for a long time.
That's your problem.
that was, I think Conservancy has sole responsibility for that.
They do ditches. Remember what the man said? Clean ditches. Not the Conservancy. Conservancy does dikes.
Yeah, but you guys could...
We pump it.
You're pumping it. You might as well clean that out, you know.
Well, yeah, you have to have money, too.
There are owners of those ditch.
Yeah, but it's like... I mean, it's full of vermin. There's muskrats. There's all kinds of creatures living in that stuff there that are undermining the dike from Dyke Road down to below. I mean, that whole underside, there's one whole great big beautiful tree down there that's going to get go because it's all undermined all along there.
I think they're coming your way, aren't you, Dick? The clean? Aren't you coming that way, that cleaning
what's
the...
What part of Dyke Road? What's the address?
11955. 11955.
That's between east and north. East and north?
Yes.
East and north. North or east?
That water moves.
Both ways.
It's not plugged. If we pump it, it goes down. It's been going.
Well, I can tell you. You can sit there and look at it because I do. It doesn't go anywhere. It's been sitting there.
I'm serious.
That's a conservancy. We don't have.
It does go somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that pump pumps it pumps it down, and if it did pump it down, it'd be running over on Dyke on Canal Road if it was plugged. Goes that down?
What do you think, guys? I think it's pretty stagnant.
Might be. It is stagnant, definitely, because we can't do nothing with the green.
Jim, did you have something?
Well, I would like to emphasize what Richard is saying. Them ditches are pumped. There's been a lot of new pumps put in there. They are opened up. It is stagnant water, but that's all privately owned ditches. The Conservancy can't go in there, no different than going in somebody's backyard and digging up. We can't go in there. The Conservancy can't go in there. Two or three different people own the whole ditch.
Well, then you'll have to do the research and find out who owns it.
I can tell you who owns it.
Well, I know who owns it.
But I mean, it's turning into a whole ditch.
Boo guy thing.
So is down in Howard Farms. The ditch that goes through there is nothing but mud and trees. There's no place for water to go. I mean, I understand the park put that nice creek and attached to it, but where's the water going to flow from the other end? Because you can't.
No.
There's no. Well,
it might go that way, but it doesn't go anywhere where it
needs to go. It needs to come.
Okay.
I mean, to put the Lucas County Health Department, is that the other place to go to look for an answer?
Yes.
I would say my suggestion would be to find out who owns the ditch. You can find it right on Aries. Find out who owns the ditch. If this comes into the Conservancy or the county's ditch cleaning process. So
I think John might own most of those, so I've told him to get rid of them.
There's some guys that own them. By the coulee, there's a different guy owns them.
By the coulee down there, yeah.
He owns all the way down. I know he owns all the way down to Howard Road. I know he lives all the way down there.
Oh, yeah?
He owns that because we had a pile there. The guys were dumping stuff there. He come out there and thought he was going to get him in trouble because other people were dumping dirt on top of the dike. And he said he owns that up to that part. I don't know if he owns all the way to Rialto or not. I can't think of the guy's name. Jim knows the guy who is.
I just said his name.
So John knows practically all that stuff in Howard Farms.
To the east. Yeah, to the east.
Yeah. And he already told us he won't do that.
I don't know why you don't give it away.
He already told us he ain't gonna do
nothing. I told him to give it to you.
He ain't gonna do nothing.
Yeah, I think we move on with this next, and then we want to slide this in, the equipment list. Okay.
Let's move.
We're going to move. All right, so tying on to the core study here, there was a big, really no plan, other than the fire department had a plan to do some evacuations if a dike was to break. Worst case scenario. So we put together a equipment list of equipment that's in the township all the time. I'm waiting on a callback from Reichhaus, and I got to get a hold of Grottle yet to see what he has. But we've got what equipment's available day or night, middle of the weekend, you know, that we can get there if something was to happen until whoever's gonna do the repairs. This is to try and limit any, limit as much damage as we can. So the Belkoffer Excavating offered up some stuff, Minky Marina, Loose Trucking, the township equipment. We have the, I talked to Lucas County EMA, Matt Krause, what he can offer up. And we talked about the sandbags. I tried to get Mike Panuski to buy a sandbagging machine through stormwater money. It didn't sound like it was out of the question, but he said, let's use Finley's first if we want to do that.
Amen. I totally agree with that.
So we got to get a hold of the city of Finley to see if we can borrow their sandbagging machine. Kevin and I talked. We can put quite a few in the little building at the training center next door, and possibly take over some of the fire chief's building. He'll be more than happy to loan that out to us.
I got about 30 bags that I get dirt in. Those big bags, like soybean bags.
Super sacks,
and we could fill them half full, and that would, if a dike breaks, we could throw them in. I got at least 30 of them that we could.
We took the account of the concrete blocks that we have out back here. I took account of what we have here at the state, at the township. We have 45 blocks. We did talk to, Mark talked to Mike Panuski today about, once we get the actual report from the Corps, if there is a really bad section, on what we could do as a temporary fix, like to shore it up. And it might include concrete blocks and some earth on the backside of the dikes to get us through, till we get an actual
finger in the hole.
Yeah. So we got a list. We've got a plan. We've got the contacts, and we've got the equipment available, and they all know what we're doing. So, like I said, I'm just waiting on two more people to we can add to the list. And then I left this blank for Kevin to tell me how many sandbags we're going to fill.
Well,
yes, Dick.
Now, nobody can touch our dike. We got two lines. If anything happens to that dike, the Corps is going, they're responsible. The Corps is responsible.
Right.
Because of that. And the person they're going to hire is John Gravel. That's the person they want.
Right.
So 2.5 miles going that way and a mile going down Ward's Canal.
Yep.
If anything happens, it's the conservancy's responsibility, but the Corps will do the work.
Right. We're talking...
Yeah, well, the other ones. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking, can we divert water?
Other people don't know it.
Right.
About the breakage in Riedel, that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
The Corps will take care of it.
Yeah. We're talking, can we divert and prevent any more loss than what would happen if a dike failed? That's all we're looking at. Trying to hold it back. So...
How are we going to get warning if that does break?
Sirens, yeah. Maybe? Yeah, you're going to have wet feet. Chief, do you, Fire Chief.
Can I help you on that one? We have the capability of doing a reverse 911 calling to the residents in the affected area. That's one. The emergency broadcast system is, you know, a second way. You know, through the news media and that, and the social media is also that. So those are discussions that I've had with the EMA. So if in the event that something were going to was imminent, then we would be putting that out and we would be doing pre-evacuations ahead of time.
So that would be calls to landlines, correct? Not cell miles.
It goes to landline, correct. But there again, the social media and the broadcasting companies is what we would also.
What if they cut off our power though?
Pardon me? Well, the other component that we're looking at is sending out a informational between the fire department and the township. We're looking out at putting out an informational packet of information for us, for the fire department. If you had the capabilities of shutting your propane supplies off, you know, that's critical to us because back in the 70s, they had propane tanks floating, you know, and still emitting gas. And then the other part would be to shut your power off at your breaker. That's all, just doing your breaker. But it's not, it takes an act of Congress to have the Edison cut and isolate a area. So
do you think maybe the sirens could, you guys could do?
Yes, we talked about the use of the sirens in the, in only the affected area. And there again, we would revert back to the education that's been provided to you for numerous years on the Davis specimen, the route notification, verification, and evacuation. The other part we are prepared for as well, with all of that continuing training and education the fire department's had over all these years, is also we have a special needs list. So there are residents within our, there are neighbors in our community that have special needs that we may make special provisions for. We're looking to get that updated because that hasn't been done since 2017. And generally the health department is the one that puts that request out. That information is completely confidential and maintained in sealed envelopes, not for anyone to see and, unless the incident were to occur. So. You know, I'm proud of our fire department because we're slightly ahead of the curve on several fronts. Again, with this knowing and practicing the alerting and the route verification and evacuation, we've gone through those training exercises. And then as well as our department elected to be a water rescue department exclusively, so we are recognized as one of the water rescue teams for the area. Us as Toledo are recognized as two water rescue teams. So, you know, we have a lot of networking resources that we have available to us. I don't want to see us have to get utilized doing that part of the job, but, you know, I applaud the trustees at taking a very aggressive approach on trying to mitigate this problem before it occurs.
Right. Thank you. Next question. Okay. I want to know, just out of curiosity, because my brain goes off in left field about stuff. Last November, okay, because you guys are saying and in the metro and on the news that there is a potential flood this November, correct? So what was last November? We didn't have this problem. What is different? Did all the rain this spring?
Water level.
The water level's higher.
Lake level.
I know the lake level's high, but did the rain damage this?
No, every we're in a period right now of fairly calm weather. The winds aren't that bad, but the winds really kick up. Yeah, that's right. But normally in late fall, we're expecting that the winds will kick up. You get more of a seiche where the wind, you know, the nor'easter will blow the more water in towards shore. And that's an annual cyclical event. And on top of that, the lake water level is 3 feet higher than it was a year or two ago.
Okay. So that was my question. Thank you.
Any other questions on the dike? Yes, sir.
Mike Koshak on Dike Road. Is there any thinking about maybe strategically placing some of this stuff along the dikes once you get the Corps evaluations to, you know, so if there is something happen, we'd have it there. We don't have to lug it around the township.
Absolutely. That's what we're waiting on the report to see exactly where the weakest points are, where they feel.
Right.
And then we have to sit down as a board to decide what's going to be the best there, you know, the best to do. You know, sandbag-wise, concrete block-wise, what we can do to shore it up.
Well, sounds like, seeing as how the park board didn't bother to really tie in their dikes to the existing dikes, maybe that would be some key areas to look at. Stage first.
Yep.
That has been a topic of discussion.
Yes.
Correct.
We've been thinking about trying to get the Metro Parks to put a small dike from their dike to the Howard Road Bridge. So if Ward's Canal broke that side, at least we would have that stopped.
Right.
And so then we don't only have to worry about the other side that they haven't did anything, the parks yet. We're hoping.
Yeah.
But they
so they need some bad press.
I'm afraid you're right. Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
We're trying not to go that route first.
What the citizens do?
Well, we're obviously trying not to do that at this time. We're trying to work with them. You know, everybody wants to be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
So we're, the big thing is the report. I think the Metro Press article came out a little early. I think the report yesterday on 13ABC came out a little early, but they were really hounding us about it, and it was kind of, we have to answer, because we don't have the full report. You know, so we're trying to answer questions on a report that we don't have all the details on.
And we're telling you folks everything that we know.
I remember a few years back, the Army Corps went through Point Place, and I saw the report that they had for Point Place and all the deficiencies. They had pictures of all the problems that were on the dike there in Point Place. I mean, you'd be surprised what they pointed out, stuff that, I mean, was artificially changed by some of the residents, and some of the stuff wasn't being done by the city of Toledo. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I don't know why we didn't get that report, you know, that type of report to begin with.
Barkall.
Once you get your final report from the Corps of Engineers, is there a possibility of having a town hall meeting? I'm sure there's a lot more residents that have questions.
Yes.
And you may have more answers.
I would.
And it'll probably be in the other room.
Yes, I would expect that we would have much more information, much more specifics. And that sounds like a great idea to have a town hall where we can get all of that information out to everybody, hear what they've got to say. Honestly, I think we're going to be asking residents for help as well.
In the press.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Any other questions right now on the dike? The dikes? Okay. Dick, I got a few questions. I'm going to point to you because you'll probably be the one answering for me. So we got the map here of the Conservancy District, mm-hmm. Everybody inside the district, mm-hmm. Okay? So when we were looking on Aries, it shows that from Howard Road to Donovan, a long standard is the Conservancies. So from Howard to Donovan on Route 2, or standard.
No, that's not a Conservancy.
It says it here.
Anything
that
in Howard, anything in standard, all them roads there, has got nothing to do with us.
You want to take a look at
well,
this?
Well, it says, hold on, it says Reno Beach, Howard Farm Conservancy, and it's got a mailing address to, it doesn't say it on here, but it's got, the one I saw earlier, it's got a mailing address to Donovan Road, which is
that's because Schmitz. The people of that district gave that lot to the Conservancy District.
This is the map of the Conservancy District?
Right, we got it right here.
Okay, but that's not Donovan Road.
No, but
it stops right here.
It also shows Wallace Road ditch, that you guys
yeah.
own Wallace.
No, we don't own the ditch, we own a part of it.
And it also...
We didn't own a part, we own a lot, which was the Conservancy District in that area gave it to the our Conservancy, not because I wanted it or anything. They gave it to, they accepted that those lots. But that is not our responsibility as a Conservancy District. We cannot spend the taxpayers' money in the Conservancy District for another place.
He's right.
That's another
Dykes
place.
There.
It's out of the district.
He's right.
We
but
can't
what I
spend that money over there.
They're their properties, but they're.
We can only spend it in our Conservancy District where the court appoints that money, like where she lives. That's the only place we can spend our money. We cannot spend it over on Donovan unless it was in the Conservancy. And it's not at Wallace, and it's not in the Conservancy. So we cannot spend the money over there. In fact,
why
our lawyer says we can't do nothing over there.
Why was it accepted in the Conservancy?
I have been there all the time.
It shows that the ditch, the Cooley ditch from Route 2 going towards Wolf Creek, so George Coker, Minkies, I think Jed Minky lives there, Ma'am and that, them house, them are all, it says right here, Howard Farms Reno Beach Conservancy District.
No.
And it shows when they were transferred.
I don't care.
I'm just saying, what I'm finding is it's showing where they were actually transferred. And I agree with you that it's outside the district.
Yeah.
But that's where my confusion is.
Somebody down Somebody's out of Lucas County pushed the wrong button.
So
I think we almost got to talk to their lawyer to get this straightened out.
Yeah. Because it was, we were just, you know, clicking and you start finding and it starts pulling up.
Well, all you have to do is take reference to your tax bill. If you're in the conservancy district, it'll show you on your bill what your fee is for the conservancy. If you're outside the district, you're not paying that tax.
That's right. There's nobody in that area pays the tax to the conservancy.
Only those people within that district.
They pay to Lucas County. They pay to all of Wallace, none of it. All the people pay to Lucas County.
And we pay both.
All right. Well, we'll do some more research on this because this looks, I mean, pulling off of this, it says that the Howard Farms Reno Beach Conservancy owns them.
Nope. We own a couple. We don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do some more research on that and figure out what we got to do on that. So. Clarify that. Okay. Okay, last thing that we had, Joel, was the records request, the public records request, and I've looked at that. I believe that the item C is too broad, looking for the last 4 years of meeting minutes. My opinion is we refer them to...
You should rephrase that because it's more specific than that.
Okay. So it's the meeting minutes.
It's topic specific, and they can't make it topic specific.
So just zoning issues.
So the problem is they want us. They want
to the Lake Erie Lodge.
Yeah. So the issue is not that I can provide whatever meeting minutes they require, but I'm not going to purposely look through meeting minutes to find where their name is mentioned. That's not. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Just that here's the meeting minutes. If you have specific dates, I would give them to you or make a range available, and it's your responsibility to
for them
look
to
through
them.
Those to determine what information you need, not for me to find the information for you. That's not how it works.
Yep. So I'm fine with that.
And it's not that we talked about that much.
Yeah, that's the other problem is unless it was a specific like July of 2019, well then I'll just look at the two meeting minutes and just do it.
Right.
But this is too broad, and it's almost like you're. I'm not sure what they're looking for. It's not our problem to decide what they're looking for.
Right.
So they just need to come back with some very objective, specific criteria that we can use to pull minutes.
B is easy. I just submit a copy of that bond, and then so at this point, you know, I just want to make sure we had notify that in case we do get contacted again.
So, on that. All right. Anybody have anything else for tonight? Not looking for a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Seller.
Yes.
I'm meeting adjourned.
That was actually quicker.